Dr. Botkin, how about the evidence, the proof? You know, we don't have anything physical that we can show people. So how do we know this is really happening?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, I sort of sidestepped the issue in terms of my own, you know, final beliefs on the matter. But certainly there are some lines of evidence that are certainly highly suggestive that these experiences are in fact real. And I would say the very first one, and perhaps the most important, comes from experiencers themselves. There is something very convincing about the experience. As I said, a large percentage of the people I've worked with over the years come from are agnostic or even atheistic, and a large percentage of those people are absolutely convinced in the spiritual authenticity of the experience. You know, I like to say that the only informed opinion on the matter of whether these are real or not come from people who have had the experience. Just as near-death experiencers no longer fear death, those who have induced after-death communications or the usual spontaneous after-death communications, they believe that their deceased loved one is really not gone, that they're still with them in some way.
How about you, Hania? Let's get your take on this, the lack of definitive proof or evidence. What we're working on is a belief system and reaction from these patients.
Well, that's one thing. Another, that for myself, I have had the situation that from the first IADC client, with every IADC client, I have participated in the experience as well. That is, I have been aware of the deceased and often feeling, hearing, seeing deceased, and it has always matched what my clients experienced. I have never been part of the private information that my clients would receive. However, I would also have the experience of the deceased every time. Actually, I should say I have experienced deceased even when my clients did not, when they could not have the communication, when that did not succeed for them.
Did you ever have some kind of experience with the deceased who simply didn't want to communicate with another live person?
Yes, I had once.
What happened?
Okay, I need to give you a background of the story.
Okay, sure.
I need to ask you how to proceed here because.
All right, jump in, Alan. Help her out here.
What the thief has said is a four-letter word in it. So oh. What should I do? Will you blip it out?
No, we can't blip it. So don't even say it. I think
okay,
people.
Okay, I will change it.
Yeah, change.
Okay.
People probably already know what it is.
Okay, very good. So what happened
was... Interesting spirit. Go ahead.
A mother came whose teenage daughter has died a violent death. And the teenage daughter was atheistic, did not believe in spirituality, religion, did not want to believe in it. And the mother came twice. And I could feel very strongly the presence of the daughter. And actually, there was a sense of agitation that the daughter had that I experienced. And of course, neither I tell my clients, I should say told, since I'm no longer in practice, mm-hmm. neither I told my clients what I believed or my experiences, and I can explain later why. So the mother came second time, nothing. And usually I would feel the lingering presence for about a minute or so after the living would leave
right.
my office. So after the mother left without the experience the second time, I turned to the deceased and asked, so what's going on? Why didn't you come through to your mother? And she said, I don't believe in this nonsense. So even after... So here the deceased refused to communicate, even though she was there, but she was true to her beliefs.
Yeah.
Well, Alan?
So So even dying didn't convince her in the reality of the afterlife, huh?
Right.
What about the possibility that this is a hallucination, but is really not happening? Possible?
Well, I suppose it. Yes, it is possible, and that hallucinations have not been completely ruled out. However, I would need to say that hallucinations are very different in just about every way from after-death communications. First of all, hallucinations typically have a negative content. They're a sign of a serious psychiatric disorder. Hallucinations vary considerably in content from person to person. And after-death communications are the direct opposite on each one of those. They are, the content is consistently positive. It happens with normal, healthy people. It's not a sign of a serious disorder. And ADC experiences are very consistent from person to person. So if ADCs are hallucinations, they're very different from any other hallucination we know about.
Did you look at this as a possibility as well, Hanya? Hallucinations?
Yes, and I will say that if I and my client are hallucinating together and our hallucination is congruent with each other, we each have congruent hallucination, then to me perhaps the whole life is a big hallucination.
Yeah. You know, Hanya's experiences of her shared experiences with her patients, and Hanya is not the only one to have these kind of experiences. Certainly the shared IADC experience is the strongest argument that these are not hallucinations, because it's pretty absurd that two people would randomly and spontaneously have the exact same hallucination at the same time. If you have two people having the exact same experience, that's a very strong argument that what they are experiencing is something objectively real.